The Lord's blessing be with you. It's June the 18th, 2015. I have a couple messages to put up, but I'm just going to go ahead and do Ezekiel's rapture dream here because I think this will help a lot of us right now as we're waiting for the Lord's timing. Ezekiel had a dream yesterday morning, and in this dream he found himself in a place where there were multicolored parallel lines running swiftly in one direction, almost like downstream, all these different colored lines just running downstream. People were on them, going to their destinations. The lines on the outside were dark shades of color, while the ones towards the center got brighter and more intense in rainbow colors. In the very center was a white line, a pure, brilliant white line. People were riding these lines, and they would be standing or laying down, but many got off at different destinations according to what they were attracted to. Amusements, things, glitter and glamour, the world, just anything that's of interest, and they'd get off out of this stream of light and move over to check different things out. But the roads they took to get off always led to a dead end. At the very center of these rainbow lines was a brilliant, pure white line. Ezekiel comments at that point, "I saw a man dressed in white standing on the very center of the brilliant white line with his back to me and his arms outstretched. He had long, flowing bronze hair down to his waist. He turned around and looked at me. It was Jesus. As the lines were all moving downstream, he was moving towards me. I was so excited, I jumped up to grab him in my arms. But I missed him, and he went flying right by me. Unbeknownst to me, he had flown up and made a wide circle, coming back around to get ahead of me in order to align himself in the stream of light again. I couldn't believe it. It looked like he was giving me a second chance. So this time I determined not to do a thing, but just lie there and be passive. And as I just rested, waiting on him, he came down to me and I was literally swept up into him. I felt such a feeling of ecstasy, fulfillment, contentment, and total joy, like we were really united as one. I realized that he had been doing this for other people all along, if they would lay back to receive from him, stay open, and be there for him. In his time, by his choice, he would pick them up and unite them to himself. So it's a receiving thing. We can't grab the Lord and make it happen. We have to wait on his timing. We can prepare our souls for him to come and visit us, but he doesn't come because we are clean and righteous. That would leave many of us out. And besides, that's works righteousness, and we all know that is not what the Lord taught. He comes to us because of his great love for us. So please, don't be preoccupied with, did I do this right? Did I do that? Did I forget something? Am I not doing something? Oh, I'm afraid I won't have time to be good before the rapture. It's not about what we do. It's about his love and receiving his love. Okay, so that's the kind of the end of Ezekiel's dream. And this last remark that Ezekiel made, it's about his love. I just want to clarify something. When I'm talking about being passive, I don't mean just being empty-minded or passively empty-headed. That's a recipe for disaster because the demons will oblige you if you do that. No, that's like a form of meditation that's very dangerous. What we mean is be active in loving and worshiping him, but not expecting to be able to grab him to come down to where we are or to be there for us, but rather to be waiting on him, I think would be a better answer. To be more passive in our expectations of what he's going to do. Be active in worship and adoration, but count on his action and on his timing to come and meet us. And I think many of us are still kind of hung up on the works righteousness thing, where we think if we do more and we do better, then we're more worthy and the Lord will pay more attention to us. It's not like that at all. It's that he loves us tenderly and dearly, and he wants to be with us. But he knows when the best time is and when time is not good for him to be with us, where he needs to let us work some things out in peace and in silence, and when we need a visitation from him. He understands all of these things, and he's forming us like a potter forms clay into a pot. He has to do that. And sometimes, you know, you have to let the clay dry, sometimes for weeks, so that it doesn't burst under pressure when you put it in the kiln. So the whole idea is for us to be prepared, to live according to what we know is right, to the best degree that we can, to count on the Lord to make up the difference, and to tell him, Lord, I'm too little, I'm too small, I'm not strong enough, I don't have enough of this gift, please help me. And the Lord living in you, Jesus living in you, will accomplish it. And he sees us as perfected in the Father. He sees the finished product. And he trusts totally how he's going to bring about this perfection. All we need to do is to receive it and to cooperate with him every day. We can't earn it. We can't grab it for ourselves. We have to wait on the Lord. Do what's right and wait on him. And in his season, in his timing, whether it be the rapture or it be an encounter with him in our prayer time, he will visit us when it's right for us. And until then, we just need to be ready and patient. And I want to add one other thing to that, and that is that if we have the intention to be perfect and to do as much as we can to be perfect, if we have the intention to obey him, and we do everything we can to obey him, that makes up for the difference between our falling or our lack. The desire is what makes it complete, because we desire to be in that place, even though we're not in that place yet. And so we have to let go and trust that the Lord will engineer the perfection. He'll do it himself. And not get all worked up about it, but to entrust ourselves to him, knowing that he sees our heart, he sees what we really truly want, and he's going to bless us according to our hearts, not according to our ability to live up to what is in our hearts, because all of us fall short in some area, and that's where he steps in and makes up the difference. And all that you do in those seasons where you do fall short, where you do fail at something, all you can really do is to repent from the heart, to have godly sorrow for your mistake. And that's good enough for the Lord, that true repentance and turning away from sin or turning away from that temptation. Repentance and turning away, making no provision for the flesh, but only for the Spirit, is what's going to make the difference with the Lord. Not that you are perfect every moment of the day, but that you're constantly and continually focused on pleasing him, on being obedient, and on doing the right thing. And that when you do fall, you don't beat yourself up. That's pride. When you beat yourself up, it's pride, because you're saying you should have been perfect. And nobody's perfect but God. But when you do fall, coming to him and being truly sorrowful for falling and asking forgiveness, repenting and turning around 100 degrees and going the right direction, that's so pleasing to him. That's what he's looking for in each of us, in our hearts. And that he will reward. Now the Lord bless you, dear family, and I hope this clarifies some things for some of you, because I know there seems to be a lot of anxiety about what have I done, what have I not done, am I worthy? And it's not anything about worthiness. It's all about the Lord's love for us. So don't be so anxious about your position with him. He loves you, He's perfecting you, and he's taking you with him in the rapture. So be at peace.